Yay.
It's Monday morning. It's 9:30 and it's time for food talk. I think you just heard Linda Perkins say, yay. And that's how I feel too. I'm Marianne Myers and I am joined by my ever fabulous co-host and by phone today, special occasion, Linda Perkins. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning. And I am not lying. I'm not lying, Linda. I got my apron on and that's what I'm all excited about. Yay. It's my favorite apron.
Is it? What color is it?
It's black denim. It's one that Becky Tonkin made. It has these three giant pockets. So like if you have an infant that you need coated around, I can pick any one of them and put it in there.
You could put one of your little dogs in each pocket, I think.
Yeah, they'd stand for that.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm well. I'm well. Beautiful sunny day. It's feeling it's feeling borderline summer, but still nice and cool. It's kind of perfect, really.
Such a glorious time on the Pacific coast.
Yep, it is. It absolutely
is. And I'm not there.
I know. Tell us where you are.
I'm in Minnesota. I am helping to clean out my mother's estate, which is why I have my giant apron on so I can keep track of my Sharpie and my tape and my gloves and everything.
Oh, but man,
it was, I don't know how hot it got today. But it was supposed to be 100. Oh, my gosh. I would go outside and I felt like I was going to burst into flames. Holy cow.
I think I speak for everyone when I say I'm so glad you didn't.
Oh, my God. Pork roast.
Oh, Lord.
That's how it ties back to food.
We try to always bring it back to food, but it's not easy.
No. So what's you been cooking? Anything?
Well, I've been doing rice and noodle bowls a lot because it's no one's surprised by this piece of information, but for some reason it's come to me kind of late. Like I knew they were good ways to clean out the refrigerator, but I never actually did them. But now that I'm doing them a lot, I realize that all I have to do is change up the sauces and it seems like a brand new thing. So,
They're really delicious.
They are. And also on a warm day, you know, a cold noodle bowl is really kind of delicious. So,
And I think that noodles at room temperature are really, really good too.
Yes.
I think better than, like some rice salads are good, but I really like noodles that way.
Yeah, I love your teriyaki noodles with lots of veg. They're so good. And I eat them either cold or room temp. So I agree 100%. But I read something interesting. I'm a fan of Sam Sifton, who is a cookbook writer and also the food editor for the New York Times cooking department or whatever you call it. And he writes a couple of columns a week. And I love his columns, and I always scan to the bottom immediately. I go back up and find out what he's talking about food-wise, but what I really want to know is what music he's recommending this week or what book he's reading or, you know, what article, what poem. Anyway,
he's really great.
He is great, and he's my source for a lot of different things. But today he was talking about this thing that I never heard of, and I wondered if you'd ever tried it because I know that you do a lot of grilling. Here's what he says. I've taken to throwing a whole head of cabbage onto the grill a few minutes after I've lighted the fire so that by the time the wood's burned into coals and I'm ready to cook my protein, the vegetable is blackened and charred all over. And then he takes it into the kitchen and puts it in a large bowl. And as soon as he can touch it, he peels away the outer scorched part and it's still steamy on the inside, and he cuts it in half and then and takes out the stalk and the, you know, the core and chops it into shreds and makes slaw with it.
So is he using the charred part?
No, not the very outer leaves. No, he's using
I would use the charred part too because I think that's delicious.
Yeah, I do too.
But what a great idea. So different.
I know. I'm really tempted to try it. Just I would have to do it in the oven. I don't have a grill, but I I like.
Well, how long does he say that he leaves it on there?
Well, he puts it on when he's light after a few minutes after I've lighted the fire, and he takes it out when the wood has burned into coals and he's ready to put the protein on. So it's in there quite a while.
Okay. So when I stir fry vegetables, I use cabbage almost always. And I'll use green cabbage and I'll use red cabbage, but I really like red cabbage, that purple cabbage, you know?
Yeah.
Not radicchio, but that sturdy stuff, the right. round head. And so I chop it into big squares and then stir fry it, and it gets, you know, little black char marks on it. And I love those.
Ooh.
And that wok is, I have one of those outside woks where it sits on a thing that looks like what you boil your big crab pot on when you're going to cook crab outside.
Uh-huh.
So it's a propane tank and it's got a ring. But I put a wok on the ring, a big 22-inch carbon steel wok. And boy, cabbage is good that way. And it sounds like it might be kind of similar.
I think that it might. I think it's the char. And also he's saying get the steaming, smoky interior on a cutting board. The interior being the part after you've peeled away the outer scorched part.
Okay, the black part.
Yeah, and then he cuts it in half and takes the core out and chops it into shreds.
Yeah.
And then he's just using some mayonnaise, some sour cream, some hot sauce, and a healthy splash of red wine vinegar.
Okay.
So, yeah. He's saying it's a wonderful accompaniment to beer can chicken.
Well, it's that time of year. And corn.
And corn, yeah.
Yeah.
Corn is here on the coast. You know, corn is kind of a lottery sort of thing, right? When you go to the store, it could just
roll the dice.
Yep, that's right.
Corn roulette.
It's not like we're in corn land here, so.
No,
it's
no.
come a ways, and it might have been, you know, sitting around for a while. You never, you can't tell by squeezing it on the outside, which I always do feel it on the outside to see if there's going to be like any bald spots in there, or if there's
I've never thought about that.
If there's going to be like 2 inches at the tip with nothing on it, but you can tell by just feeling it. But you can't tell if it's going to be starchy or sweet.
Yeah. Well, and I'm always like, I hate when I see people at the grocery store peeling them back, you know, I mean, just wrecking the ears. Why?
That is such bad form. I'm sorry.
I know.
That is rude form.
To the grocery manager.
Are you in corn land there? Is corn a thing in Minnesota?
Yeah, it is definitely. Just Iowa, Minnesota, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
South Dakota. I think I actually don't know if South Dakota has anything but the Badlands.
The Badlands are so great, though. They're so good.
The whole thing is Mount Rushmore.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know what they grow there. Beets on the border, that's all I know.
So
I made
reservations. What?
Well, because I'm not someplace that I can cook, you know. We've gotten rid of so much that's in my mother's house. There's nothing left to cook with. So we went to a Thai restaurant the other night, and that was really good. And it's fun to go to restaurants. I haven't been to restaurants in so long. But I had something I forgot about, and I loved in my 20s, like a Singapore noodle stir fry. So super skinny.
Yes.
I mean, really, really tiny, thinner than angel hair pasta rice noodles.
Yep.
With a lot of curry and then vegetables. That was really good.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if that's kind of an old-timey dish and you just don't see it much anymore.
I don't know. I see it on my Thai cooking things on YouTube, but the people that I'm subscribed to are home cooks, basically. I'm not watching any restaurant people, so
yeah.
It probably is, you know, it's a home-cooked meal.
Yeah, well, I'm excited. I'm going to start making it again because I like it. And same thing, just like you said, your noodle bowls is the way to clean out the fridge.
Yeah.
Hey, what kind of noodles do you use in your noodle bowl?
Everything. I mean, I have been, as I have been saying for a couple of shows, I've been cleaning out the freezer and my pantry and going through trying to deal with stuff that I've had so long. I have no excuse.
Yeah.
So I had soba noodles. I had udon noodles. I had glass noodles. I had every kind of noodle in a big basket that's pretty deep on my countertop forever. And what happens is the things like the regular, like spaghetti, pasta, and the kinds of things that I cook really regularly because my husband loves them, were all on the top, and I never got to the bottom. So I've been I've been starting to use all of those. So I've used all of that, all of those kinds of things, whatever I've got.
I'm impressed.
Well, I'm more impressed that I had all that food I never used. One good thing about dried noodles is, you know, the shelf life is basically eternity. So
yeah. Well, I'm always happy, and I need to buy them more when I use those big thick Thai noodles, like the kind that's in fun, you know, beef chow fun noodles.
Yeah,
I just think those are great, and I should buy those more often because when I get them, I usually get them in a little package. I use them all up at once. So then they're gone, and I don't think to buy them for a long time. And I don't know why, because I think those are great.
They are really great. And I have to go into Portland a couple times this week, and I'm thinking that I need to swing by one of the big Asian groceries and stock up on some like really good kimchi, that kind of thing.
I keep
buying small. We don't have access to quart jars of good kimchi here. So
no more.
Those small jars just don't last very long.
No, they don't.
I'm out, and it's alarming. So I'm going to go shopping and maybe find some fresh noodles. I would like to, you know, I would like have some of those. And I don't mind the small packages of those because there's only two of us. I need to use them all at once. So
yeah. But what I'm saying is like a dried noodle. I mean, I love those. And then I would have, you know, some in the bag, and then you want to use the bag up and, oh, get them again. But then when I use up the little bag, I just don't even think to buy them again. I don't know why.
Well,
I need to make a better list.
Oh my God. I'm telling you, it's the cooking thing. It is so relentless. It's so relentless.
I saw something, you know how you were talking, it is relentless. And I'm learning that here where I don't have to cook a thing. I mean, not a thing, and I'm here for like 2.5 weeks. And so that's actually really exciting because I don't remember a period of my life where I didn't have to cook a thing for, you know, longer than a week. And I'm kind of excited about it, which
I'm worried you will have retired by the time you get home. I shouldn't be worried. That's selfishly for this program, but you know, Dale might be really worried.
Poor Dale. He's so cute. He's home cooking a birthday dinner for his son tonight. And I'm scared. He's like, it's 95. I want to bake a potato. I'm like, what is wrong with you? Put it in the microwave, honey.
Preheat that oven to 400 degrees and wait for an hour. Oh my gosh.
Well, you were talking about cleaning out your pantry, and I saw something on the internet. You know how it's always true. But this was a picture. So, okay, I'm going to admit to something. I have a lot of cookbooks, and at one point,
this is common knowledge. I got to tell you,
I know, no, but at one point, I arranged them by color, and I liked it. And I know that that's a bad thing, but like all the yellow books were together, and all the red books were together, and I thought it was really pretty. I mean, I really liked it. And then I couldn't find anything, so I put it back, you know, by category. But what I saw that I've never seen before is, and it's totally people who do things for Instagram, you know, I mean, that's just such a common thing now.
Yeah.
But it was a woman who had arranged her pantry by color.
Really?
So all the yellow stuff was together. All the red stuff was together. And it just looks so harmonious.
I'm sure it does, but that's insane.
Oh, I know it is because I don't have memorized what color the box that my, you know, curry paste comes in, or, you know what I mean?
Oh my gosh.
But it was so pretty, and I'd never ever thought to arrange, you know, dry goods by color. It was really, really pretty.
Do you think this is a person who cooks?
No.
I don't either.
I think that all the groceries were bought for an Instagram photo.
Yeah, that's right. It'll look exactly like that 10 years from now. I don't know. I mean, it isn't that I don't arrange my pantry, but generally I'm trying to put like items in the same spot.
Yeah. You know what I do? I go to Costco. Okay, I have metal shelving, just that metal shelving. yeah. in my pantry. And my pantry, I'm sure, is larger than most people's, but I cook a lot. So it's a spare, very tiny bedroom that I've just put shelving in. And so,
in your defense, we should mention that you have a very small kitchen.
Yes.
So
yes.
you need that.
Yeah, there's only room for vitamins in the cupboard. Seriously, vitamins and like 1/18 of my spices. And then also like the stuff that you put on your dog's nail when you accidentally clip it too hard and you need something
oh,
real
yeah,
fast
yeah,
to
yeah.
stop the bleeding. That's got to be right there.
Powder.
Yeah, exactly. So my pantry, what I did is, you know, when you go to Costco, they have those boxes that they load some stuff yeah. up in. And some of them are good and sturdy, you know.
Yeah.
And so I use those like drawers. So like one has dried fruit in it. All my different dried fruit is all piled in that box. And I pull it out like a drawer when I want dried fruit off the shelf. And then the other one is just piled with nuts. And I've got one piled with pasta. And I think those are my three boxes. But that's all the random bag stuff, you know, that
yes.
just takes up so much room on a shelf because it doesn't sit that, right. You
that's
know, it just
such
slides.
A good idea.
Yeah.
That's really a good
actually,
idea.
I've actually done the same thing in my stand-up freezer. I use the smaller boxes like drawers.
Yeah.
And they're cardboard and they last a couple of years and then they get upset about being in there and you got to replace them.
They're really remarkably tolerant, I must
yeah.
say.
Yeah. And I'm sure there's some product out there at an organization store that would work, but you know, we don't have an organization store in Astoria and I just don't want to go to Portland for that. So
they're really expensive. If you go to a
yeah.
store that sells containers, it's really expensive. You know,
yeah.
if you go to a store that just sells stuff, there it's a better deal. But once
yeah.
you call it a container, the price
yeah.
doubles. It's crazy. Hey, I want to take yeah. a quick minute and remind everybody that Food Talk is a co-production of KMUN and North Coast Food Web. Both fine organizations have excellent websites. Sites, KMUN.org and NorthCoastFoodWeb.org, and those websites are packed with very interesting and helpful information. I encourage you to go wander around through them. So,
yeah, they're both really great resources in our little community. We're very lucky to have them.
We are so lucky.
Yeah. Yeah.
We are so lucky. We are luckier than many, many places that are much larger than us and haven't
yeah.
figured
neener,
out.
Neener, neener, larger places with less. Neener, neener.
That's right.
That wasn't very polite, was it?
Well, it wasn't, but I doubt that they're listening, so I wouldn't
okay.
worry. I would not
come
worry.
Come and beat us up. We're just going to send a fifth of our population, and we're going to win.
I am talking to you on the phone. I mean, Bluetooth is a wonderful thing. I'm revering
yes.
my smartphone right now, but also it just reminds me of how this is how we used to do it all the time during the height of the pandemic.
Yeah, COVID. That's right. Yeah, we were on the phone all the time. And then at home, you don't know this, but when we record a show, if we make a mistake, for instance, if I swear, then we have to start over. We don't have the ability to like splice it, you know, and then continue.
Yeah.
And so the big thing is my big ham hand, I just press my phone against my face and hang up on her. And then we got to start over. And so I've been concentrating so hard on not like pressing my phone to my face. Trying not to make that mistake.
It's always something.
Oh, I know.
I'm just really glad that we're not on some sort of forced vacation because you're out of state. It's like you're just
yeah
here. So
yeah,
I'm happy
thanks.
About that.
It's fun to see all my mother's cooking stuff, you know, all the things. I mean, she has all the things that she used when we were little kids. And then, moving to this house, she got one of those big, giant, almost industrial gas stoves, you know, and that thing is always just, I've been so envious of it. And so, like, I say I'm not cooking, but I did boil some eggs and I made some tea. And just to use it is really something because where I live, I've said many times, you know, we don't have gas, it's too rural. And just, I mean, I want to boil some water and I'm like, it's boiled. As opposed to at home, I go do a load of laundry and, you know, walk
yeah.
the dogs and come back. And
yeah.
yeah, so that's really something to experience. But to go through an estate, you know, you you go through all your mother's cooking stuff, and then there's all the stuff she inherited from her mother, you know?
Yes.
And there's even a couple things from the generation beyond that. And that's just, it's really lovely to see. And then, of course, all my mother's recipes. And we had a moment there where my father had a furniture antique store for many years, decades and decades, and he saved everything. And so my brothers were going through just the vast mountain of paperwork that's in the house, and they were just they had a big 30-gallon trash bag, and they were just filling it, you know, taking it to the dump, and then filling it bag after bag after bag. And they were working at a table in a sunroom, and it's where I had the recipes sitting, just, you know, three little boxes.
Oh.
And they were gone, and I mean, my heart was just broken. But then my sister-in-law said, "Don't you remember? You were right there. We moved them over here in a box." And I'm like, "No, I don't remember." But I was so happy. And that would be such a big loss, you know, to lose
yes.
your mother's recipes.
Yes.
And so that's exciting, too. I have my mother's recipe collection. And that's something I'm really looking forward to just pouring over. You know?
We're looking forward to hearing what you're cooking when you get home and you have your mother's recipes. I love that. I have my grandmother's and my mother's and an ex-mother-in-law. I have recipes are that. They are the currency of our lives, right? They are the currency
yes.
that is more valuable in many ways than what we think of as actual currency.
Yes.
And also they pass down better.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Yeah.
I think that they're just so valuable, and they tell us so much about, you know, the people.
The person, you know, because everybody cooks so differently. And my grandmother on my father's side, I've talked about those two little notebooks that she kept, because she had a little spiral notebook in her purse at all times. And when she went, because there was no internet, but when she went to somebody's house, you know, in 1947, and they cooked something she liked, she would ask them for the recipe. So many of the recipes look like a recipe. It was a list of ingredients and then a method, you know. But some of the women cooked like my grandma did, very intuitively. And so the recipe would be just like the lady talked. "Oh, Lena, you make a sweet dough, like you're going to make some sticky buns, but then you boil some milk and you know what I mean?"
Yes.
And that's how the recipe would be. And people cook very differently from one another. And so that part is really interesting too. And then we all clip things out of magazines. So there's, I'm sure, hundreds of things my mother never made, but it's what sounded good to her,
uh-huh,
you know?
Uh-huh.
And that paints a picture too. So it's really exciting for me.
It's very exciting, period. I just love that. I love it. Yeah. And we talk all the time about having a lot of cookbooks. And I when I say I have a lot of cookbooks, you have a lot of cookbooks.
Like Marie Chevalier.
And we have talked many times about the fabulous free website called Eat Your Books, so that you can find things in your cookbooks without having to go through them or try to remember where you saw it. All of those things are really fabulous, and yes, I do use them, but the thing that I go to most is a plastic 3x5 card file box with handwritten recipe cards in it.
Yep, me too.
That's my most commonly thing pulled off the shelf thing when I'm looking for something.
Yeah. And even the things that I think the 10 things I make most out of cookbooks, I write them on a recipe card. I don't want to go looking for the book, because who knows what color that cover was.
Really? I'm sorry, but that was demented.
I'm sorry. It was pretty, though. It's so pretty.
And before Eat Your Books, we never used our cookbooks anyway because we couldn't find anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my gosh. Where did I see that thing? Oh, crazy. Well, it is. I actually had a delicious peach the other day.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, and I think that's early and just dumb luck, but still.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I was able to peel it nicely without having to, like, dip it in boiling water or anything.
Yeah.
It just peeled because it was a ripe peach, and it wasn't mealy, which whined about at length in past.
My only test is I just smell them and, you know, see if I can smell peach, and if I can, I'll take the leap and I'll buy them. But I mean, I've been sniffing nectarines and peaches and I haven't come across anything I could smell and I don't have COVID.
Well, and we're happy about that.
Yeah, me too.
I'm sure, I'm positive, actually, because I saw the sticker on it, that this particular peach was from California. But I wonder how, that makes me wonder how they even get them anywhere. They're so delicate. Golly.
Yeah.
I don't even, I have no claim to know anything about any of that. And I bought one peach because you know how I am.
You don't know.
The odds are real bad.
Yeah, a bag full of mealy peaches. And especially, it's almost like you tempt the face if you buy a bag. You know, there's no way.
Yeah. That's like buying a case of dog food for my 15-year-old dog. I don't do it. I'm like, I buy four cans at a time.
My grandma died when she was 98, and I remember she saying, I don't even buy a dozen eggs at a time. You know? It's like, oh, God, grandma.
Hey, we're not tempting fate.
No, we tempt that. No, exactly. And then she's like, break that bunch of bananas in half.
I love your grandma.
He was hilarious.
Oh, my gosh.
He loved Jell-O. Oh, we counted 27 different flavors of Jell-O up in her cupboard when she died.
I didn't even know there were that many.
Holy. Oh, no, there are for sure because we counted them. And then when she died, then we're a big Catholic family. Everybody brought Jell-O to the church dinner, you know. Oh. And my dad sat next to the priest and he made him try every one.
Oh. Yikes.
I don't even know why, but he just had sadistic tendencies, and that was about as sadistic as he could be at his mother's funeral, you know?
That's pretty sadistic in my book. Holy cow. Hey, I want to ask you this before we run out of time because we have a couple of minutes left, but in the last couple of shows, well, first it started with I forgot to cue up some outro music, and then you filled in by singing a song. And then the next episode we recorded, we went over by like 17 seconds. And Nick, who is a fabulous operations guy at KMUN, sort of remedied the situation and then plugged in your song again from the time before.
Oh, wow.
And so now I think we have an official outro song, original. And you have about less than a minute to tell us how that came about and to sing us a little verse.
My nephew's here, and when he was like 2 years old, maybe even less, he just had those two little hillbilly teeth when you get them when you're a baby.
Yeah.
And he had a little toy that he would drive around my mom's house, and he'd take potatoes out of the bag, and the seat had a little compartment, and he'd bite them with his little hillbilly teeth and put them in there, and my mom would find them like 9 months later. So I wrote him a song, and it goes, I'm driving my vegetables, I'm driving my green edibles, I'm driving my vegetables around. I am driving my broccoli, I'm driving my cauliflower, driving a bushel of corn home. And it has other verses, and I'm sure that I could remember them if my brain wasn't full of all this stuff here. Something about a V8 engine in a car, haha, V8, haha. But those potatoes would get so rotten.
Oh, does he remember that song? You probably haven't sung it for how old is he?
No, he's a very introverted, shy boy, and he sees me and his eyes just like dart for like the nearest place to hide. Sad but true.
Oh. Auntie Linda is scary.
I know, exactly.
Ay, 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 ay. Well, sing us out with a couple of verses, and I'm so happy that you'll be home in a week or so, and I'm looking forward to seeing you.
Thank you very much. Okay. I'm driving my vegetables, I'm driving my green edibles, I'm driving my vegetables around. I am driving my broccoli, I'm driving my cauliflower, driving a bushel of corn home. That wasn't in tune. And I can't remember any of the other. Bye, everybody. I miss you. Bye.